Later, in the cave, they took a closer look at the little swallow. It was made of some shining blue metal, which gave off strange glints in the sunlight. Shaped like a fantailed swallow, wings spread wide, as if it were flying. Dandin noticed a small hole bored through one of the wingtips.
See this hole? What do you suppose it's for?
I don't know. Maybe for something to fit into it.
It'd have to be pretty thin to fit through that tiny hole.
Bobbo pulled a thread from the lining of his velveteen long coat.
Something as thin as this, are you thinking, wayfarers?
Dandin nodded.
Yes, that's thin enough. Let's try it.
The swallow hung by the piece of thread. It dangled there, turning slowly, then stopped, facing the right wall of the cave. They watched it. The little bird remained still. Tarquin took hold of the thread.
Here, let's see the belly, old bird.
He spun it on the thread. Round and round it went, finally coming to rest, facing the same way again, the right wall of the cave. No matter how many times it was spun, it still ended facing the same direction, the wall on the right side of Bobbo's cave. Duddy shook his head in amazement.
Just like the poem says, the swallow who cannot fly south.
Marielle smiled.
Aye, it flies the opposite way, north.
Dandin recited the last lines of the poem.
His flight is straight, nor west is true. Your fool's desire he'll show to you.
Bobbo held up the swallow on his thread, watching as each time it stopped turning, it pointed due north.
This is a thing of great magic. You could be going anywhere, in dark or fog, yet it would guide you, see? Northwest is at the point of the bird's neck, between its head and left wing. So you see, travellers, let the little swallow think he is flying north, but you take the northwest course. Truly a marvellous bird, my friends.
At supper, they sat around the fire, discussing their next move. Marielle knew well what it was.
We need a boat.
Dandin left off polishing the sword.
How long would it take to build a boat? Where would we get the timber? We know nothing of boat building.
A gloomy silence prevailed. The fire flickered warmly about the rock walls as they sat mentally wrestling with the problem. Bobbo looked from one to the other before speaking.
Ah, well now, it is sad and dreary your faces are. You are my friends. I would like you to stay here forever, but I know that your fate and search are elsewhere, and you will leave sooner or later. So, listen to what I must tell you. You want a boat. I do not have a boat, but I know where a ship lies.
Marielle sprang up.
Where? Oh, please tell us where the ship is, Bobbo.
The old Dormouse sat back, stroking Fail's head gently.
I saw her a few days ago. She was drifting north round the headland. A curious ship, with not a living creature aboard her. So then I followed her along the shore. She had neither masts nor rigging. The tide sent her up into the cove on the other side of the headland, and I boarded her in the shallows. 'Twas a terrible sight to see. A sea-rat ship, Green Fang she was named, burnt out in some battle, though not anyone aboard of her. There was no supplies or things I could be using myself. Ah, well then, I anchored her fast to some rocks and left her there. Now, I warn you, she has neither sail nor masts. The cabins are all gutted by fire, but the hull is sound, and she has steering and a rudder. She will take you where you want to go. I will show you her on the morrow, and you can decide for yourselves, though I see by your faces that your minds are already set on it. Go you to sleep now. 'Tis probably the last good rest you will be taking in many a perilous day ahead. As for myself, I will bide here with my friend Thurl. I am too old for such wild adventures. Peace is all I seek now.
By mid-morning of the next day, they were riding the charred hulk of Green Fang out upon the tide, with scant supplies, no proper accommodation, and an outward wind. Marielle held the long tiller. the metal swallow constantly pointing north under cover of a makeshift awning. Tarquin wiped a paw bravely across his eyes. Dandin sniffed copiously. Duddy wept unashamedly, but Marielle smiled fondly at the two small figures growing dim in the distance as they waved from the shoreline. She would never forget Bobbo, the quaint little dormouse, or his silent friend Phil, the newt, and their peaceful existence in the cave amid the tall rocks. Now, the mouse maid turned to the open sea and the unknown dangers that lay before them.